Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Les Olala, co-host of the program, and I are together in the studio, and we're joined once again today by our friends and guest hosts, Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, who pastors the Grace Baptist Church at Kingsford, Michigan, and Dr. Marty Vaughn, who has been a wonderful ministry partner to Dr. Olala and serves here on the administrative team at Northern Baptist Bible College. Men, we're glad that you could be with us today.
Thanks for having us. It's been a privilege to me to be here and to think and rethink through some of these things that we're looking at when it comes to really why and what are we to be doing with our Christian life. I think a lot of people get confused as far as Christian life and living, and they get frustrated. And what we're trying to outline here are some of the, I think, succinctly stated goals that all of us can have and put into place. These are all things that are biblical that we can put into our practice on a daily basis.
Well, that brings us to really our final session together on the topic of biblical discipleship. And we began our study by listening to an illustration and grabbing that illustration that Doc O shared with us about an archer in the Olympics shooting three bullseyes, thinking he had sewn up the gold and finding that he had disqualified himself for shooting at the wrong target. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of that in our life. And so Wynn and Doc O, you both have been really helping us to identify the core targets of what it means to be a biblically obedient disciple. How do we disciple ourselves? How do we disciple our children, our mates, all of the relationships? And Doc, I think you really hit it, that this is really lived out in the course of relationships.
Yes, and those relationships have to reflect a Christ-like mentality, a Philippians 2 thinking, because all of this is not geared to exalting how disciplined we are, but really exalting how much we hunger to manifest to the world what God is like as we reflect the character of Christ,
right,
fruit of the Spirit coming. And it really does boil down to relation. Our God relationship as it flows out in our earthly relationships. Because where else are we going to show these characteristics?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not in relationships.
That's why it takes it out of the realm of something I can do myself. Because you know what? When I look at all these, I cannot do this on my own. That's why whenever you use the term, not just being disciplined, even we've talked about that, but being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, that's the only way I'm going to be able to have any of these characteristics in my life.
A few broadcasts ago, we had talked about Ephesians 5.
In the Walking Wisely series.
The Walking Wise, as we walk wisely, these things will be there. And the last point we covered was the filling of the Holy Spirit.
And I like that little word, and I don't want our listeners to overlook it, that you used just a few seconds ago, hunger. Because I think there has to be a hunger for these targets.
No, and that is a great metaphor.
You know, in my life, sometimes I've got down on my knees and I said, Lord, give me a hunger for this particular element or for this particular thing. And I hope that as people have heard these things, that the Holy Spirit has stirred them and cultivated a hunger for this.
So, I mean, I'm just being honest here. I mean, we talked about four targets: dedication to God, which is an unreserved lifetime commitment; devotion to others, which is an unselfish sacrificial love, 1 Corinthians 13. We talked about spiritual discipline, which is the hardest one, a sustained daily effort to be controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. And like Doc O said, we did a broadcast earlier on another series on that issue itself. And then the fourth target was the target of dependability, doing what I ought to do, in 1 Corinthians 4 and in Proverbs 25. So here's my question. I mean, I'm sitting here agreeing and in my spirit, knowing this is right, and then you talk about this hunger that we need to have. And if I'm a listener, and not just as a listener, I'm sitting here, me personally,
right,
just transparently saying, you know what, there are times I don't hunger for these things.
And I think that's where the sustaining, that's where the wonder in my thinking of God's sustaining grace comes in, because sometimes I've had to admit, Lord, I know I should pray. I want to pray. But I know I don't have that hunger for prayer that I should. And I've actually asked the Lord to cultivate and stir my soul with a hunger. And you know what? I'll walk away, and maybe Doc O and I have a regular prayer time where we meet together, and I'll walk into the office, and he'll say something, and I'll think,
wow, he didn't know what he just told me.
Yeah, and that's
God
where that mentoring
that.
Relationship
that's
comes
right.
in.
God used that. That's it. That's what God's mm-hmm. been trying to get through to me. Oh, man, that opens a whole new world to me. And thank you, Lord, for using someone else. That's why he said at the beginning of this series how important it is to be in a local church under a ministry where there's someone who will mentor us or someone who will show us or someone who will teach us. So,
Doc, can you comment on the importance of partnering in here? Because I've come into a couple of those prayer meetings with you and Marty, and I agree with them. I think that relationship, this is not something you do on your own. You need the Holy Spirit, but you've always taught us you need others in your life. You need a partner. You need a peer. You need somebody that you're working with, that Titus-Timothy relationship. Talk a minute about that here, because I think that's a key to this.
Well, we call it the Titus touch from 2 Corinthians 7, where Paul, we always picture him as being the ultimate, never discouraged, never down, always on top of everything. Mm-hmm. Well, in 2 Corinthians 7, we find him coming in absolutely empty.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my sarks, my flesh, but in a perpetual state of no rest, the perfect tense there.
Mm-hmm.
And God comforts those who are cast down, depressed, or brought low by the coming of Titus. You look back in chapter 1, chapter 2 of that 2 Corinthians, and Paul testifies, when I came to Troas, I found not Timothy, my brother, a great door was open unto me, or I found not Titus. And he said, leaving them, I went and found Titus. He left a wide open door.
To go find Titus.
To go and find Titus. And I have found, I'm becoming more and more a loner. I don't like that because I've always been a team player. But I feel that there is that Titus element. We have to have that other person touching, that other person perspective involved in it, because it really does give us that measure. We need a measure. If I measure myself, I'm always deceived. But if I measure myself against God's standard and against accountability, it's different. And I think when we see these last three things, it will be a help to us.
Wynn, why don't you take us into those last three?
The next one that we think of as a target is the area of discernment. I think missing in a lot of people is a biblical discernment. We gave a definition, the ability to see people and circumstances as they really are. There are a lot of people or situations or circumstances or things going on around us, and they give an appearance of something that they really aren't. And there's a falseness. No, growing up with my dad, he was not a well-educated man. But I watched him, and it seems like there was a generation where my dad would watch the news, and he would say, this is what they said, but this is what it means. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, he was able to look at them and say, they said these words, but this is what's really going on. And I know that a lot of times in life that we just don't have that discernment, and that makes us susceptible to doctrinal deviation, susceptible to theological aberration, susceptible to giving
moral indiscretion.
Exactly. So many areas. And so discernment, and, you know, we just made a list here, and I'll just quickly point some of those out. But being able to discern and determine really what is the will of God for my life, not my will, but God's will. And there are a lot of competing voices on that.
In fact, we did a broadcast in a recent series called Walking Wisely, where we actually walked through specific ways in which we can know the specific will of God.
Yes, where he says, be not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that word understanding, in the full meaning of that, when you look at the structure of it, beginning with that fullness, with the soon thinking with.
Yes.
So I make my discernment based on objective truth, not on subjective feeling.
Which is so easy. I mean, I know that I can make a lot of decisions based on my feelings, you know, because they're going to sway me one way or another. And if we have this as one of our targets, that we're going to live by discernment, then that'll help me whenever I'm trying to choose the right friends or teach my children to choose the right friends.
I think one of the keys to discernment is what you have here, asking penetrating questions, learning to ask the right questions.
Yeah, and I think you also have to ask the right questions to the right people. Because I can ask questions.
Well,
and
that's true. That is true.
You know, I can go to someone. I can go to my friend, and they know what I like or what I want to hear. And I could say, this is my question, and they could give me an answer that I want to hear. I think, you know, when Dr. Ola was talking earlier about who we have that is mentoring us in different areas, that is critical for us if we're going to ask the right questions, that we're asking the right people.
One of those penetrating questions, Sam and Wynn and Doc O knows this because I hear him ask it to people. I hear him preach it to people. And the penetrating, one of the great penetrating questions relating to discernment is, do I want God's best?
Yeah.
In other words, am I absolutely committed to wanting God's best? Because I can take good things, but do I want to do the best thing?
And you know what I've found in my life? There's a surface answer. Well, of course I want God's best.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the real answer.
Right.
As long as it's what I want.
Yeah. And that you say draw a circle and get in the middle and say it's God's will, that's that surface answer. When I know we're running out of time here, I want to make sure we get the last two.
Okay, well, the last two, the sixth target is discretion, which is the ability to avoid words, actions, and attitudes which are not right biblically. That's the area of our tongue. That's the area of turning the TV off whenever the flesh would want to see something it shouldn't on a channel where something's there, or the same thing on the Internet. Discretion is the ability to resist the devil, and he will flee from us in handling criticism or rejection. So discretion means that I'm going to be cautious about the words that I say to others, about my actions before others, and about my attitudes in relating to others, back to that whole area of relationship. So it's really having a discernment about my actions before other people. And then the last area is your discipleship. And now Dr. O and Dr. Lana want to get in on this a little bit, because discipleship is when God has done something in me and then I'm at a place where I can help see that take place in another person's life. That's really one of the objectives. And we saw that in the pattern of the Lord and in his disciples. And now 2,000 years later, we're still disciples.
Well, the final target brings us to where we really begin, and that is, do I desire this? And why do I desire it? Because for God's glory, I can transmit this to someone else. And I like the thought here that I'm just not an object of God's love. In other words, Jesus Christ died for me, but he died for me for a purpose. And that purpose is that he wants me to be an instrument in his hands to transmit these truths to others when it comes down to the end of the day.
Doc, I think it's only fitting that we give you the final word on this since we started here.
Paul set the pattern, I believe, and he summarized that in 2 Timothy 2, where he said, find faithful men who in turn shall teach others also. You have to have something in your life to transmit to others, but you transmit to those who are faithful men. I always test, if I am in the process of discipling someone, I test the sincerity of it by the fulfillment of projects.
And on that note, we're going to have to wrap up this broadcast and our series on biblical discipleship. We hope it has been a blessing to you. For copies of this series, please contact us. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.